great meeting. This is August the 5th, the morning meeting. I'm Andy Snoke. You know, the Spirit of God was moving today because I was dancing a little bit. Now, let me explain to you. I don't dance at all. I cannot even clap with rhythm. My wife, she does this thing, you know, where you can, I clap like this. And that's it. I dance like a white man. So today, you talk about getting out of your comfort zone. I thought it was the second coming of Christ. That's the only reason that I was doing that. I knew something was happening. So you saw, any of you that saw a peek of it, you probably saw the one and only peek ever of me moving my feet like that. So anyway, I don't want to change the flavor of the meeting too much here and disappoint you with speaking on a subject, but I want to talk very briefly about an important subject that will actually change the world and that will kind of help move our way into the young people's meetings if I can. I'm speaking to everybody, but I'm going to talk about to men, especially young men, older men, boys, but what it takes to be a man. Is that okay if I talk about that? And will you ladies hang in there with me?
Yeah.
Now, if you have a man beside you and I'm reading some things about what a man should do, don't poke him in the ribs and don't say, I told you so. So just listen. But if you don't have a man, I want you to listen to some of these things and realize that you need to set high standards because you deserve, as a woman, you deserve the best. And don't settle for less. And if you're a man, you deserve to be the best. And don't settle for less in yourself for your wife. Okay, I'll move quickly here. 1 Kings, the second chapter, the first verse. Now the days of David drew near nigh that he should die. And he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong and show thyself a man. He's going to tell him how to be a man. How to be a man. You know, everyone's got an opinion on being a man. If you go to the movies, the Hollywood's image is a man is a guy that's got 10 different girlfriends and doesn't follow the rules and he's kind of a maverick and carries a gun, you know, and that's a man. As far as God is concerned, that is not a man at all. That's not a man. One of the greatest blessings of my life has come from being a father, a grandfather, and a husband. Fatherhood blesses a man with a brief season of time to be a hero to some little son or daughter. During these formative years, young fathers have the privilege of having little ones look up to them, believing that their earthly fathers could fix anything broken in the world. That's one of the joys of being a dad. Your kids or grandkids, they think there's nothing you can't do. God loves men to be men, and he loves women to be women. Men, embrace your masculinity. Women, embrace your femininity. You know, God has gifted masculinity in men and femininity in women, but I have to think that when society begins to blur the lines of masculinity and femininity, it's an offense to our Creator. God wants men to be men. He wants women to be women. It's nothing to be ashamed of. I'm not ashamed to get up and having to shave my face in the morning. I'm a man. I'm not ashamed to dress like a man. I would be ashamed to dress like a woman. And vice versa. So embrace what God, the way that God has made you. David, in his last days on earth, desired to pass on to his son Solomon what it meant to be a true man. Men would do well to understand what it means to be a man. Manhood, true manhood, princely manhood, like that of David, is one of the grandest things in the world. And forgive me for reading, I wrote a Sharon Starr article, it's going to be published. First Kings 2, verse 1, and I haven't finished reading all of it yet. I'm going to get back to it. This will eventually be in the Sharon Star. This spiritual manhood that I speak of does not depend upon the size and strength of the physical body. There are men of small stature, like the Apostle Paul, King David, or Napoleon, who tower above other men as the mountains tower above the plains. Being a man has nothing to do with the size of how big you are. That doesn't make you more of a man or less of a man. Samson was a giant in stature, but a baby in self-control. It was not the Philistines that destroyed Samson. It was Samson himself. A true man will be led by his principles and not by his impulses. That's what a true man is. No one can read the Bible thoughtfully without being impressed with the fact that it speaks much of manhood. And it holds manhood up as something that should be sought after with diligence. The Bible emphasizes manhood in an unusual way. The book of Genesis contains 60 chapters and over 2,300 years of human history, and yet one half of it is devoted to telling us about the colossal manhood of Abraham, and a third of that of the exemplary life of a man, Joseph. The story of creation is told in 800 words, but much more is given to the story of Caleb's rugged manhood. An entire book is occupied with the story of Job, and another with the uncompromising life of the man Daniel. God respects men to be men. Abraham towers like the mountain when he pushes aside the spoils of the unrighteous king of Sodom, unless he should say that Abraham was depending on him. The Lord is not a respecter of persons, but he's a respecter of character. Hear God's admiration of the character of Job in the strongest language that even God could use in declaring that he is perfect. Job 1, verse 8, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, and one that feareth God and escheweth evil?" David, a man after God's own heart, was never known for being the best father during his life. He made a lot of mistakes as a father. Yet at the very end of his life, King David desired to leave some form of fatherly advice that would establish Solomon with the character of kings. And this is what he said. I'll finish the verse. 1 Kings, the second chapter, verse 4, verse 1. "Now the days of David drew near that he should die. He charged Solomon, his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show yourself a man." And now he's going to say how to do it. "And keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, his commandments, and his judgments, and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself. That the Lord may continue his word which he spoke concerning me, saying that if thy children take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth, and with all their heart, with all their soul, there shall not fail of thee a man of the throne of Israel." So in other words, it says, Solomon, if you want to be a man, walk with God. Amen. Obey God. Obey everything that God says. You want to be a man? Prove yourself by being faithful to God and his word. That's what a man is. That's what a man is. A man is one that follows what the word of God says. God has given godly attributes to true manhood. God has called man to be a head of a home. That's an awesome responsibility. I'll just read this. 1 Corinthians 11:3. "I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ. The head of the woman is the man. The head of Christ is God." 1 Corinthians 11, verse 7. "For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God. But the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was a man created for the woman, but the woman for the man." And then I got a statement here. This may place some in an uncomfortable position, but man was placed in a marriage, in a home, to lead, to be a shepherd. Men should be leaders in your home. They should be leaders, godly leaders. Now, God is looking for diligent, strong, manly leaders in homes. God is not looking for domineering, condescending, slave masters to rule over their homes. He is looking for men that will be gentle, tender warriors that take the responsibility of leading their home. Godly men, not domineering, not dictators, but shepherds. He is looking for shepherds of the home, gentle warriors, men that love their families with a sacrificial love, men that are willing, if necessary, to work long hours, to be cold and hungry, if it means that their families are warm and provided for. A sacrificial love. He is looking for shepherds of the home. Real men find time to drink tea with their little tiny princesses. You have a 4-year-old princess in your home? Real men find time to sit down and have a little tea and a cookie with the princesses. Real men find time to help with their children's homework. Real men help their little boys slay pretend dragons. They are active, present, and very involved in the lives of their children, and always find ways to hold, honor, love, and cherish the gift of the wife that God has blessed him with. Real manhood finds reasons to be home with their families instead of excuses for being away. That's what God is looking for. Men that invest in their home, in their family, in their home. Godly manhood, princely manhood, the character of kings, it comes only from a humble obedience to our Lord and our Master. I recently came across some statistics about homes where the father is missing. These are statistics. And these are the statistics of the world. They don't have to be the statistics of the church. But when a father was missing in North America, 85% of youths in prison are from a fatherless home. You go to a prison, talk to the young men there, 85% of them, there was no father in their home. 63% of youth suicides are from a fatherless home. 71% of high school dropouts are from a fatherless home. Children are 15 times more likely to have behavioral problems when the father is missing. Children are 24% more likely to run away when the father is missing. Children are 33 times more likely to be seriously abused, requiring medical attention when the father is absent from the home. Teenage girls are 7 times more likely to become teenage mothers when the father is missing. God wants a father in the home. Men, that's our responsibility, is to be men and to be fathers in a home. That's where God wants us, in the home. And by the way, women pay a high price when if a young woman isn't married and a young man comes up and he says, if you love me, you'll sleep with me. Statistically, when a young woman gets pregnant, I have the numbers on another page here, the statistics. She's going to be in poverty another 12 to 15 years longer than the normal person. There's about a 25% chance she'll drop out of school. All kinds of horrible statistics are stacked against a woman who has a child without a father, without a husband in the home. And if a man comes up to a young woman, he says, if you love me, you will sleep with me. The woman should say, if you love me, you would never ask me. And there's another thing a woman can say. I've got 5 reasons why you're not going to sleep with me. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then hit him as hard as you can. Think of yourself being in poverty. Think of yourself in all of the horrible things that happen. And why is it? It's the woman that pays the price. I'm sorry it is. It's not fair, but it's the woman that pays the price. If a man, a boy, asks you to sleep with him, you are the one that will pay the price. If he asks you, he doesn't love you. Because you're the one that pays the price. I have one other tip. If you have someone that asks you and is pressuring you to sleep with him, you take a quarter out of your pocket. You say, here's a quarter. You go to the local phone, pay phone. You call my local elders and ask them if it's okay for you to sleep with me. If they say yes, then it's okay. Or call my dad and see what he says. Anyway, women, be women, be women, and men, be real men. If you're a real man, you will never ask a woman to sleep with you if it's not your wife. Be a man. A true man provides for his home. That's your first responsibility, us as men. Provide for our homes. To be a man. 1 Timothy 5:8. If any man does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Now, work doesn't come easy. I appreciate Brother Rick gave a short testimony about his job in the past. Work doesn't come easy. Why doesn't it come easy? Let's go back quickly to Genesis, the third chapter, to the curse. Adam and Eve sinned, and this is what God said. Third chapter, 17th verse. Adam said, cursed is the ground, God said, for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life, both thorns and thistles it shall bring for you. You shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. So men, if you get a job and things just aren't going the way you like it, and it's kind of tough, and you have to sweat, and you have to work long hours, it doesn't mean it's not the will of God for you. God promised that when you make plants, when you plant crops, the weeds are going to come up, thorns and thistles. It takes work to work. Work doesn't come easy, does it? That's why we call it work. Otherwise, no one gets up and says, I'm going to go play today. You get up, I'm going to go work today. So just because there's toil and things don't always go well, it does not mean it's not the will of God. Be willing to work. As I said earlier, a man should be willing to be hungry and cold and work long hours if his home is provided for. Learn to work. I'm going to give you some really quick tips on working, some job tips. Here's some job tips. I'll just rattle them off real quick. Number one, get the education and the skills that you need. If it requires going to school, if it requires going to a trade school, if it requires going through an apprentice course, get the skills that you need for your job, whatever that may be. Another one, this one goes a long ways. You wouldn't think it would, but it does. Look your best. Look, people are impressed by appearances. They really are. Look your best. Look a little better than everybody else. Dress a little neater. Look a little better than everyone else. Here's another one that they won't teach you in college, but it goes a long ways. Be mannerly. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Please. Thank you. Manners. It is amazing how far manners will take you. And you know what? You know how much it costs you to have manners? Nothing. It comes free. All it takes is effort. I've read a number of articles about manners, and it is amazing the doors that just plain old manners open. Little children here, moms and dads, teach your little kids to respect older people. Teach them to say please and thank you. Teach them to open up the door for other people. My grandkids do that. They've been taught by their mothers to, when someone walks up behind them, run over, grab the door, and hold it open. And they do it all the time. They run and hold that door open. We were at a restaurant one time, and they always say please and thank you, and the waiter complimented them, but these kids are manners. They're mannerly. They're saying thank you. It goes a long ways. Amen. Debbie and my daughter-in-law were telling my little princess, 6-year-old granddaughter, that, you know, if you're nice to the waiter, he might give you a treat. And the waiter comes along. I don't know why she did. She looked up and she batted her eyes and smiled. And he gave her some ice cream or something. It worked. Anyway. But manners. Another one. This is a job tip. Show respect. Along with showing respect, I'm going to give you a little slogan here that will save you a lot of jobs and a lot of heartache. It goes like this. Remember that the boss is not always right, but he is always the boss. Okay? Every job you go to, you're going to at some point think that you are smarter than your boss. And you might be. The boss isn't always right, but he's always the boss. When he asks you to do something you think is ridiculous, remember, He's the boss. You're working for him. Show respect and you do what you're asked to do. And you will go a long ways. The man that keeps challenging his boss because he knows more is the guy that loses a job. So show respect. Remember, the boss is always the boss. Go early. Stay late. Be the best man on the job. Work as unto the Lord. Don't always be ready to jump ship just because things are not ideal. Stick it out. Stick it out. Sometimes it's difficult, the job market or your job. Stick it out. I'll read you some scriptures real quickly here. Ephesians 6, verse 5. Bond servants, be obedient to those who are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling. When I read bond servants, I'm thinking today of employees. In sincerity of heart, as to Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bond servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, and with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men. When you go to your job next week, when your boss comes up, you're supposed to look at him as this: I am serving the Lord. I'm not serving my boss. He's my boss. I'm working for the Lord. I'm going to do the best job I can do serving the Lord. Actually, we are supposed to do that in everything we do. Do you know that? Everything we do. The group that came in today and mopped the floor, when you mop it, you're supposed to mop it like you're serving the Lord. So everything you do, you're supposed to do it like you're serving the Lord. A gentleman named Calvin Coolidge, President of the United States, he said, "Nothing in the world can take the place of persistence. Talent will not. Nothing is more common than unsuccessful men with great talent. Genius will not. Unrewarded genius is almost a proverb. Education alone will not. The world is full of educated derelicts. Persistence and determination alone are important." Sticking it out. Sticking it out. Being determined and persistent. A gentleman named Mike Rowe said this: "There's no such thing as a bad job. Some jobs pay better. Some jobs smell better. Some jobs have no business being treated like careers. But work is never the enemy, regardless of the wage. Because somewhere between the job and the paycheck, there's still a thing called opportunity, and that's what people need to pursue." God has given you a job. You put your heart into it until something else is opened up. Yes. This is one of my favorite sayings from Martin Luther King Jr. in Chicago, Illinois, in 1967. He said, "What I'm saying to you this morning, my friends, even if it falls to your lot to be a street sweeper, go on out and sweep the streets like Michelangelo painted pictures. Sweep streets like Handel and Beethoven composed music. Sweep streets like Shakespeare wrote poetry. Sweep streets so well that all the host of heaven and earth will have to pause and say, 'Here lived a great street sweeper who swept his job well.' Whatever you do, you put your whole heart into whatever you're doing. And God will reward you. He will keep in mind, 1 Thessalonians 4:11, that you aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that you may walk properly toward those who are on the outside." I'm going to move quickly here. Ephesians 5:23-33, I pulled out 8 commands to the husbands regarding his wife. Men are to be the head of his wife, not a boss, a head. They are commanded to love his wife as Christ loved the church, a sacrificial love. Men are commanded to love their wives. Husbands, love their wives as their own bodies. They're commanded to nourish their wives, to cherish their wives, to be joined as one flesh, to leave parents for their wife, and to cleave to their wife, which means to hold tightly, closely. These are commands for husbands to the wives. And reading quickly in 1 Timothy 3, verse 2, I pulled out several qualifications for elders, for these are actually qualifications for all men. And I'm just going to rattle them off to you. These are qualifications that should be in a man's life. Blameless in conduct. Husband of one wife, not a polygamist. Vigilant, which means no drinking wine is really what it means. Sober, of sound mind, self-controlled, of good behavior, given to hospitality, capable of teaching his family, not given to wine, it's repeated again. Not a striker, it means not quick-tempered, not quarrelsome, not greedy of filthy lucre, which means you're not desirous of dishonest gain. Patient, not a troublemaker, not covetous, ruler of his own household, not a novice, a good report from outsiders. These are all godly attributes that God wants to be in the lives of a man. So I'm going to close with that, but I'm going to encourage all the men just to seek God to be a man. Young men, unmarried men, young boys, be a man. Be a leader. Step up to the plate and be what God wants you to be. That if men would follow the pattern of the Bible that I read to you today, it would change the entire world. You know that? Amen. The whole world would be changed if men would be men and women would be women. Amen. And we have a model. We have a blueprint. We have a plan that we can follow the Word of God, and you won't fail if you follow the Word of God. God bless you.